What a worshipful song. That's one of those songs you just kind of close your eyes and listen to those words and the message of that God will be with us. Amen? And what's going on. Thank you all for coming to church today. Now, you know how this works. You know, God just gives me a call at some point when he decides whether to have church or not. You know, it doesn't work that way, and I wish it did. I always wish it would just be so, I wish it would be so obvious, you know, that you can't get here and that God made the decision. But thank y'all for coming. And in these times, you know, just always, I mean, Corey, how is it your house or what you can do or not do, just do, okay? It doesn't matter what we say. Try to make the best decision. I thank you for y'all that give me input and help. And but if you look at other churches, I mean, it's crazy. You got all kind of things going on from not having church to doing all kind of things. But some churches didn't have church on Christmas Day, too, so that's a whole different story. But glad you're here. It's good to be in God's house. Good to come worship him. And our prayer list is long this morning. Just did want to take a moment to mention just a few, and I know I missed some when I start this, but just continue to remember Deborah and Byron. Deborah has good days, bad. Byron's still battling cancer. Dennis with his battle with cancer. Tim texted this morning. Tim's not doing good this morning, and his new heart medicine was doing well, and got new insurance, and the new insurance is so wise that they've decided he doesn't need his new heart insurance, so heart medicine. So let's just pray God will work through that, but he's already feeling side effects from that this morning, so just a lot on our prayer list and a lot unspoken, so let's just bow for a moment. Lord, there's a lot of needs this morning, Lord, and it's kind of dangerous on a Sunday morning to begin to mention names, Lord. So often on Wednesday night, we can go 15, 20 minutes, Lord, with a request. And I know there's many more, and I begin by praying for those things if we to begin to share that's going on in our lives, in our families' lives, and all that's happening, Lord. We just lift those up. Those unspoken requests, Lord, those difficulties, Lord. I pray this morning, though, for especially for Deborah, Lord, that you continue to restore her body. That you touch Byron, Lord, and continue, Lord, to just use his treatments, use the shots, use what they're doing, Lord, to help with his cancer. For Dennis, Lord, just for his appetite. Lord, just some frustration there. For Tim, Lord, for that medicine sickness this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your hand being upon Tanner, Lord, and he's got to come home. I just pray for that new kidney, Lord, that you'll just continue to just do a miracle work in his body. Lord, I pray for those that are just spiritually weak this morning, those that need Jesus. And Lord, I just do pray for, I thank you so much for those that get out in the weather, Lord, that help, Lord, the police and the firemen and the power workers and utilities, all those many people, Lord, that get out and work and so that we can have needs met, Lord. Just be with them, keep them safe. And Lord, I see that in my mind, that homeless man I saw last week, and Lord, not sure where he's been, but Lord, for those that, Lord, are experiencing that difficulty, Lord, that you would just provide shelter and, Lord, the hope of a new life in Jesus Christ, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn back to Genesis 1:1. This morning, we kind of began talking about the power of God in a way last Sunday. I know some of you were traveling and not here. It was another holiday weekend. So we'll do kind of a brief review. But Genesis chapter 1 is we're going to go back to and jump off again and move a little farther. So if you are physically able, stand with me. Genesis 1, beginning of verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the power that we see on this first day. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, make us remember, recognize, Lord, that your sustaining power, our great need for your power, Lord, and the availability and how, Lord, your power has not changed from day one. So we need it this day, Lord, and we need it each day, Lord, moving forward. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We talked about last Sunday about his power on day one, that idea that this awesome power we see revealed on this day one of creation and beginning to look at Scripture, how does that apply to remind us that that power hasn't been diminished at all. I got a practical, physical reminder of power yesterday morning. Now I understand, I'm not made the bones, but I like snow. I'm glad John's here today. I try my best to get John preached. John came in. He's doing interim work farther north than we are, and the parking lot iced down. Not that we have church, so I saw him came in. And I thought it was a perfect idea. I said, John, you preach this morning. I'll save my message from today to next Sunday. Then this week I can just kind of play around, do whatever. And he just looked at me, the wisdom we know John has. He said, God didn't have me to prepare a message. And you need to preach the message that God gave you. So, John, thank you for that wisdom that you give. But I woke up yesterday morning, and John loves snow. Some of you like snow. Some of you were, I pray for snow, okay? I don't pray for people to break legs or have wrecks or the power go out, all right? Y'all all right? But like snow, amen? I understand some of you were praying against us, and you're very happy for your victory this morning. But I woke up yesterday morning, just excited knowing that there'd be just what they said. 8 inches of beautiful powdered snow out to play in. I really didn't. I had forgot, around here that when they forecast that we're going to have a big snow, it don't snow. And when they say it's not going to do anything, it does do something, so I'm back on track. But I woke up yesterday morning, and the power's off. Power's off. Anybody else not have power yesterday morning? Anybody else with no power? She lives on my road. Okay. No power yesterday morning. And it's a pretty big deal for us, right? We're spoiled, amen? Pretty big deal. But it took on a whole new meaning when I'm still had just gotten up, to see the excitement of the snow before I give you a look. Hilton said, ain't done nothing, Daddy. It's like I said, ain't done nothing. But then, no power. And, then the reality, the phone rings, and I'm a brand new grandbaby, my baby daughter, and my wife saying, baby, house temperature is supposed to be 7 degrees for the baby, so it takes on a whole new meaning, right, amen? I mean, me and mama, me and grandma can make out, right? We just cuddle up in the blankets. We still cuddle, y'all, right? So we be out, but, hey, the baby needs heat. So thank y'all, several of y'all said, hey, come to the house, do whatever. But it was just a physical reminder of how dependent we are on that power that's flowing. I'm thankful this morning. You better believe I woke up. I didn't wake up Friday morning praising God and thanking Him for the power. Did anybody else, But I woke up this morning thinking, man, thank you, Lord, for the power and the heat and the water is flowing. And thank you that we've got power here at the church. And by the way, thank you. Several of y'all came out between like the first little ice storm, nothing on the road before that little storm came and you took down the Christmas decorations and everything. So thank you for doing that. And thank you. And I got the text, hey, there's power at church. And so thinking about this morning, I was thankful this morning thankful that we could come here. The roads were clear that we could come to worship Him. So thank you, Jessica, for leading us in worship, and Kay and Abby to be able to worship together. He's worthy to be worshiped, amen? He's worthy to get up and come and be in His house. But it's all His power, amen? So when trying to get some power for the baby, my Dad, years ago, had bought a generator. And some of you have generators. It's a pretty neat thing to have, Dad had bought one. I never will forget, though, that you have to maintain a generator, okay? It can't sit there for years and years, Rick, and then you expect it to work, amen? And we're going to see the same things in the Scripture this morning. And we forget about, kind of like sometimes we forget about a generator till we need it. We forget about the power of God till we really need it. Amen. I was thankful this morning for physical power, and in a morning time when God really moves and answers a prayer, I'm so thankful for His answer, and I'm overwhelmed by His power, and I'm praising Him. But oftentimes I don't maintain the relationship that I need with God in order that I can experience the same power that's available we're talking about. Amen. Found out with that with the generator several years ago. I mean, it started snowing. And Marty, I believe that every flake, Miss Kay, every flake was sticking, And so I'm thinking, man, Mom, the generator wouldn't crank for nothing. Wouldn't start on a starter. You couldn't pull it. It weren't running nothing. Some of you men already know it. Yeah, you didn't maintain it. You didn't run it. Got that old ethanol gas in it. That's what's wrong. Called up Marty Stanson, went and got him, and Marty can work. He's race cars, cars, motors. Marty's motorman, so he can. I never forget, came over. I mean, he tore the thing apart, tore it all apart, got that thing running. By the time I got him back, I bet there was 5 inches of snow on the ground. But see, I had failed to maintain that backup power. I had to confess then a few years later to Marty that I'd let the same thing happen again. But I had watched what he had done, so I took it apart myself. And he's probably saying, I ain't coming again, preacher. You do it yourself. You ain't going to maintain it. But it was so important yesterday morning, though, because Adelaide, new baby, you know, rest of us came back out. You know, we every day, in the process of cranking first pull yesterday, Marty, in process of yesterday thinking about that generator running, I was like, how silly am I? This generator can stop any moment, David. It can sputter, stop. There'll be no power, no heat in the house. Only God can take care. Only God can take care of things. God wants that generator to work. That's fine. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for the gift of it. We'll run. But if not, we'll just head to one of y'all's houses. We'll do something else. You know, God is the one. God is the one that gave us the power to get up this morning, and God is the one that gave us the power to come to church. Not the preacher's decision or anybody else to have church. It's God's power. And yesterday, I started thinking, man, just like I ended last Sunday, the breath of life and the pumping of the blood. It's all God. Nothing's happening without His power. But He reveals to us in this first of Genesis how that power is available. And I said last Sunday, look at the first three, in the beginning. It really translates the revealing of His power, how it's an uncovering. The Bible starts out saying, let me in the beginning tell you about God and how awesome His power is. We looked at that, just realizing daily that He wants to reveal that power. We talked about then about the unlimited power. We see in verse 1 it says, and God created the heaven and the earth. That's power I can't explain. It is supernatural. It's unlimited. But I made this statement last week, and it really had grabbed me during the week, and several of you really leaving the door last Sunday. And I mentioned that how the message spoke to you, and I think what spoke to us so much about was the fact of, why is it that we so often wonder, why do we not experience to see that power of God that was like on day one creation? Amen? You know, that, man, new things are happening. Wild, you know, big things are happening. And we're just overwhelmed by His power. And I made the statement that I think it's that our weakness or my weakness physically and emotionally and spiritually can mask in my mind the power of God. Amen? And I could just not realize that it's kind of like it puts a cover over God when I need Him most. In Isaiah 50, in verses 1 and 2, it makes those simple statements about God says, has my hand been shortened? And we know the answer is no, it hadn't. And He says, or have I no power to deliver? And God still has that power. In 2 Corinthians, we kind of close with this. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible said, He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. He creates each day, the sun coming up. He creates each breath, the blood of life. And as I said last Sunday, so oftentimes we just don't see it. We begin to think, we're not experiencing it, and we just have so many questions. And as I said, you want to apply in every case. Man, I had the privilege. So often when I go see someone, especially in the hospital or something, I find, John, that God is preaching to me, teaching me, doing far more in my life than I'm ever going to be able to minister to someone. I had that in Miss Bonnie. I went to see her grandson, Tanner, in the hospital last week. Just an awesome privilege to go by and do that. Chris's nephew. Such a humble, just sweet spirit young man. And I just always remember that about him. I'm not saying that because the family's here either. If you met him, you know that. And we prayed for some time. Tanner's having trouble with his kidneys. And we get updates. Tanner's having trouble. Tanner's on dialysis. And, you know, it's just kind of at a distance. And we pray. Many of you prayed for Tanner. Amen? But as I went to see, what became so evident is he was obviously very weak and in pain there in the hospital. After he's had a kidney transplant. Amen? Major surgery. You know, they've cut him open. They've laid a new kidney in him. They sewed him back up. And he's doing excellent, but there's a weakness there. Amen? And there'll continue to be some weak times. But what overwhelmed me is realizing, man, and we text back and forth with Chris after the surgery and things going on last week, Miss Bonnie, is that, you know, man, just what a miracle. Right? That's the power of God. Your kidney, my kidneys aren't working right now without the power of God. Tanner's kidneys have stopped working, and only by the power of God would a new one start. But in that weakness, I begin to be reminded of what the next statement I was going to say last Sunday where we stopped, and I wanted to say this morning is this: God wants to use the same power that he used to create heaven and earth on day one every day in our lives. And what he wants to use, that he wants to use that power to create his will in our lives. We don't need another river. We don't need another sun. We don't need another moon. We don't need another earth. We don't need some big dramatic thing. What we need to understand is that God is going to take that power, and he's going to be able to kind of funnel it down and begin to work in every life that will accept Christ. And he wants to place through the Holy Spirit, through the person of Jesus living in us, that same power in our lives. And, y'all, that's something to get excited about, that we can access that. Because we're going to look this morning, there's many things that are weakening us. We have those thoughts and things in our minds that weaken us. We don't recognize the power, but that's what God's doing. When you really slow down to think about it, as God's working there in Tanner's life, God is working in millions upon millions of people's lives, working his power. He's working in healing, sustaining in sickness. He's giving his will in their lives. See, it doesn't matter. My prayer would have been that Tanner would never have experienced what he had, Chris. But that wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's plan. But the same power that's working in him is working in anybody. And so often people think that they're physically strong. I left the hospital thinking about this, because during the process of visiting, I get more details, you know, how that this has been going on since about 2010. Tanner's 18 now. And on the day that many of you went yourself or took your children to get licensed, that big day, 16, Tanner started dialysis on that day 2 years ago. So I walk out of the hospital, and I'm thinking about, for some reason, I don't know, I guess it's probably Hilton, the sports connection. I started thinking about some athletes, you know, I started thinking about athletes, man, how strong they are, how healthy they are, how powerful they are on the field and what they can do. And I was saying, you know, that's not what God's talking. That's not what it's all about. There's just as much power available, and I believe working in the life of Tanner, than the most powerful person physically known in the world. Amen? And he wants to do that same thing with us. The Bible tells us time and time again, and just listen to these verses, maybe Mark them to look up later, but Mark 10:27, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. He says in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And in Matthew 22:29, it says, Jesus answered, said to them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So in those three verses, what God is trying to remind us, what Jesus is trying to remind us is, listen, there's this unlimited power. This same day one power is available, not been diminished. And God wants to use it in your life to do his will in your, don't miss this, to do his will in your life. And what we have to be comfortable with is, it does not matter what his will is. Does not matter. I really believe that someone is Tanner, or someone in our church fighting cancer that may be physically weak, can experience things with God's power, and he can do things in their lives that cannot match up to anything else. Amen. So many of you have experienced that. But what he wants us to know is that when things are bombarding us in this world, and Satan's attacking, and everything that's falling apart, that we need to understand there's a power available through Jesus Christ, and that with men, everything is really impossible. Amen? All that we think, you know, we wake up in the morning, and our plans for work and our plans for our activities, all that's going on, and none of that's possible without God. And when he says that all things are possible with him, they are. And I don't know where you need to hear that in your life right now, but I know that we all need to hear it. He says that anything's possible. So if you're needing a new job, if you've lost your job, if you just need a new job and still got one, if you need something physically, if you need something emotionally, if you need something financial, whatever it is you need, God is saying, nothing's, hey, that really changes the landscape, amen? And that's not what you thought this week. And that's not what Satan has said this week. And that's what not what 99% of the people that in your friends and family have told you. Y'all right? That's not the kind of conversations we have. We were at Brooke and Davies yesterday, and they're talking about doing something, future plans. And here I am, you know, recounting my testimony about how hard things are and how difficult it is, you know, and how you got to make cuts and how you might want this or you got to do that, you know. And I'm not talking that. Practically, we want to give that wisdom. God speaks of that too. But more often than not, what we need to know is we need to proclaim, hey, God has the power to do what's impossible in our minds when everybody else says it's impossible. And many of you are sitting here, the fact that you're in church, that you're saved, is an impossibility apart from God. Amen? Every one of us. So it is. He says there in Luke, he says that nothing shall be impossible. That's an excitement, y'all. And I love in Matthew, the passage I read 22-29, where what Jesus says is, he says, you make an error. Our error, the problem that we have in the world has is that in not knowing the scriptures. And by not knowing the scriptures, we're not knowing the power of God. Amen? So that's what's going on. So as many of you may be asking, so preacher, you've taken last Sunday and all the way up to half this Sunday morning, how are we supposed to experience that? How can we have that day one power? How does that really flesh out? Well, I'm glad you ask, okay? Because the answer is really in verse 2 of chapter 1. As I've often said, just keep going back to the beginning, track God there and forward, you'll be all right, amen? So look in verse 2. The how is in verse 2. The how is in allowing the Spirit of God to move upon us each day, to surrender each day, to surrender our lives to His power. Look in there in verse 2, what's it say? At the end of verse 2, we talked about the revelation of His power. We talked about how awesome it was, and it simply says it in verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And the same power that the Spirit of God moved on the face is the same power that wants to move on your minds and move in your lives and move in your decisions. It wants to move in our lives, and that's where the power comes from. Amen? So that's the how. We have to surrender to His power. God, how could I describe this very simply? You know, you may, some of you men, you may have the most powerful tool there is. I mean, you got the brightest flashlight, you got the 20-volt or the 24-volt drill. You got the power to do what you want to do. But you, listen, you can have all of that power, okay? But if you keep grabbing the hand screwdriver, if you keep going into the shed and grabbing the handsaw and keep working, you'll not experience any of the power that the tools have, amen? And so that's the way God works. God says, I've got unlimited power. I'll do the impossible in your lives. And what we do is we take what we know, what we're comfortable with, what most of the world is working with, and we go out and try to live lives working with that, and we're not accessing the power. Amen? I promise you, we rode to Brenda Monroe yesterday. I was getting my mom had power problems all day at her house after the power came back on with fuses. And so I headed to Monroe to get some fuses. And we're going by, as we're going to Monroe, they've got a new John Deere equipment place there on the left, not far from the caterpillar place. And they've got a huge John Deere skidder, log skidder out there. I mean, that thing is huge. Got the blade on front, the grapples on the back, and I look at that thing. Y'all know I like equipment. I'm looking at that thing. I said, now that, I'd like to have that. That beats a Jeep any day, and I love Jeeps. That beats a four-wheeler. That beats anything, man. If you had that, you could do, man, all kind of things. Next time somebody got a tree down, Byron, I think y'all got a tree down, preacher be right over. I'll just drag that thing to my house and throw it in the woods, amen? But that's kind of a simple example. That's how God's power is. And here's what we do. We go out and we look, and doggone, the axe handle's broke. Marty, can I borrow your axe? Well, preacher, it's rusty, ain't very sharp, but you sure can borrow it. All right, well, I'm going to get the axe, and we'll go out here, and, you know, we're just going to do the best I can. I'm just going to chop, I'm going to chop, I'm going to do the best I can. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's what we do. We do it the way we've always done it. We do it the way everybody else does it. When God says, I've got this, that nothing's impossible, and He keeps saying that power is coming. And I believe it's answered in verse 2, where as we let the Spirit move. I read this statement as I stayed, it said about the Holy Spirit in prayer, because that is one of the main ways we access the power of God, through prayer. Now listen to this. So we think about the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Well, how's that happen, preacher? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit, as a spirit of power, helpeth our infirmity in prayer. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, ends our deadness in prayer. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of wisdom, delivers us from the ignorance and the holy art of prayer. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of fire, delivers us from coldness in prayer. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of might, comes to our aid and our weaknesses as we pray. So oftentimes we're not accessing the power of God. We're not letting the Spirit of God move through us as we pray and then as we go out from our prayer life. In Luke 1:35, and turn that right quick for me. We've got time. Go to Luke 1:35. It's back there in the whole proceeding. Remember Luke 2. We were all about that at Christmas. As Luke 2 has the birth of Jesus. But look in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. So this idea in Genesis 1:2 of the Spirit of God moving on the face of the earth. Throughout the Bible, we see the Spirit of God moving. The Spirit of God wants to move in your life. That's when the impossible happens. When you begin to experience it, you know it because you really can't explain it to anybody else. I mean, if you can explain all that's going on in your life, that's probably not the Holy Spirit. But look in Luke 1:35. We're going to see it again here. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, the angel's talking to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And now some of you are saying, now, preacher, that's the Holy Spirit moving upon the Virgin Mary. That's Luke 1. That's good there. Y'all, that's the same Spirit of God moving there that moved in Genesis 1-2 and did the impossible and created what we see. And by the way, what's happening here in Luke 1:35? Impossible's happening again. Virgin Mary's having a baby. Amen? Impossible. Get the connection, Genesis 1-1. Here we are in Luke. It's the Spirit of God moving in lives. And all throughout the Bible, what God continues to tell you and I is, listen, let the surrender to the Spirit of God. Quit using all the tools and habits and all the knowledge you've got. Surrender the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God start moving in your life and see if the impossible doesn't start happening. Here's the problem. And that's the how. And you may say, well, preacher, I just don't quite know. I mean, that just seems a little bit too simple. I mean, it almost seems like what you're saying to me is that, you know, we got to say, God, we can't do it, surrender everything, give up to Him, and let Him take over and start doing everything. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I didn't make that up. That's what He's saying. But here's the problem. The how is very simple. But see, if we can't find scripturally what the problem is. Here's what the problem is. The problem is that we forget about Him and His power. I woke up every day last week and I didn't think one thing about the power running in that line, running in the meter, running in my house. Amen? I didn't think one thing about it. I thought about it yesterday morning. I forget about it. That's the problem. We forget about Him. We forget His power. You know, I don't have to prove that in my life or your life or some silly example I just gave you about the simplicity of the power in my house. Go to Exodus chapter 32. Go to Exodus 32 in chapter 32, beginning verse 7. And I'm just going to show you how the Bible will describe to us in the second book of the Bible. We're still in the early stages, amen, in Exodus 32, beginning in verse 7. Let's read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 7. And I'm going to show you this problem, how the problem was here. And it's the same problem we've got now. And the problem is we forget about Him, we forget about His power. Look at Exodus 32, verse 1. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us, for as for Moses this man, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Where's Moses at? Moses is on the mount with God, receiving the word of God, receiving the Ten Commandments. Amen? And it says that, what's that word we read? Look at it with me carefully. What's the word that it used there in verse 1? It said Moses is delayed. We don't like delays. Amen? We don't like delays at all. We've got so accustomed to get what we want when we want it that we cannot stand a delay. You know, well, the crazy thing is, we won't go buy groceries. We don't want to cook. We want to drive through the drive-thru. And when the drive-thru line is any bit long, and if it don't go as fast as we can go, we upset, amen? That we're waiting for somebody else to make our food, amen? Well, we just don't like to be delayed. So, you know, I'm telling you what, here's the thing. If we know Moses is going up, see, most all of y'all were smarter than everybody here. I mean, my goodness, if you knew that Moses had gone up in the mountain, he was getting a word from God, he was going to bring it down to you. It didn't matter how long God wanted to take, amen? Does it matter how God long he wants to delay before he gives us an answer? Well, it shouldn't, but it does, amen? How many of our prayers this week? God, I've been praying for a long time now. And what's the delay? So the problem is we feel like things are delayed, not going our way. Or then we just get busy with life. We start forgetting about him. They were quickly willing to forget about Moses. But you notice one thing that's very problematic here is it's always talking about is Moses. And they ain't talking a thing about God. But look in verse 7. The Lord's speaking here in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've forgotten about God and forgotten about his power. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. By the way, I'm telling you, there are far more idols. Some of you are saying that you'd never be part of somebody melting down a bunch of gold jewelry and creating a statue, an idol, to work, that you would never do that. Oh, I really believe that most of you wouldn't do that. The problem is they so many more idols now, and they so much better dressed up, and they so much more fun. We don't even realize they are. In verse 9, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. You know what happens? I contend that I am, and it'll be up to you to contend if you are, I think we are all just like these people. Just like these people created in the image of God. In many ways, these people were experiencing, God had just delivered them with his unlimited power. He had just done the impossible as he had delivered them out of being in bondage in Egypt. He does the impossible in lives, and God says, they're stiff-necked people. I think God says the same thing about us. Amen? You're a stiff-necked people. Well, stiff-necked people do. Stiff-necked people forget about God and his power. Amen? That's what we do. We just forget. That's the problem that we have. He goes on after he says that and says this. Listen to verse 10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now think very practically, and we'll just close right here. God, can you imagine how aggravated Moses is right now? Can you imagine? That's like you've been off working all day long and you come back to the house and the children have made a mess of everything. You know, you've been being the friend you've been there every moment for somebody, and you have done everything, and you show back up, and you've been out working, and you just gone out that day and bought your friend something they said they had needed, and you arrive back at the house, and there's a big party going on, they invite you. Okay, that's what's going on. Moses had to be as aggravated and fed up with those people as anybody's ever been fed up with people. And all of a sudden, God Almighty, who God has entered into this, who Moses has this relationship, this close relationship, that he's been up and received the word of God, and he's been leading these stiff-necked people, and they've been moaning, and they've been groaning, he's just sick of what's going on. You might be a little sick of what's going on in your life, in your family, your marriage, your friendship, your church, your work, okay? He's fed up. He's tired of it. And God, Almighty, all-powerful God, says, hey, Moses, you just leave me alone a little bit. So you step right over here. I'm angry about this too. I'm going to let my anger wax hot. I'll take care of all these people. What would you do? Now, I'd like to think I did what Moses, I think I would like to think I do what Moses did. I think every once in a while, what I'd like to do is, God, you go ahead. Take care of them, God. But what the Bible says, you know, they say that's one of the most profound statements that Billy Graham over the years would make. Go back and listen to old message. He'd say, the Word of God says, the Bible says, the Bible says in verse 11. Look there with me, Exodus 32:11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power? There's that power. With a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did bring them out to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of the evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst to them, I will multiply your seed as the heavens are a source of heaven, and all this land thou hast spoken I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Why did Moses do that? Why did Moses do that? Moses knew about the Genesis account of the destruction of the were all the people in the world. Why did Moses do that? Because the Spirit of God had moved on Moses' life. The Spirit of God had, I believe, showed Moses that Moses was a stiff-necked man. And that Moses knew his sin. He knew just who he was. Moses wasn't holier than thou sitting back there saying, hey, you take care. You know, you do this. I'm better than them, but let's give them a chance. Now, Moses has seen the power of God. Moses had just seen the power of God on the mount when he gave him the Ten Commandments. Amen. You got the finger of God writing in stone. He'd experienced it. He'd been reminded of it. I think Moses was thinking of the times when he forgot about him. And when Moses forgot his power. And God had to keep showing up and showing off his power. And Moses just realized that it's the same thing we realize today. Y'all, that's what our problem is. That's why the Spirit of God can't move in our lives, is we just spend too much time forgetting about him and his power. It's not complicated. Because if it's complicated at all, I just might as well give up and go dig a hole and get in it. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. For someone this morning, the problem is that the Spirit of God can't move upon you. And it's not that really you've forgotten about him and his power, but you've never really known it. Because the only way you can begin to understand and know his power and know him is through a personal relationship with his son Jesus. When you have a time and a place where you just give up, surrender it all, say, God, I need you to come into my life to save me from my sin, to take over my life, and then you begin to experience power. This morning will be your day of salvation. We'll begin in a moment to sing a song. You come down with simply acknowledging that you just would like to receive Jesus, truly enter into a relationship with Jesus, and we'll open the Bible and show you how he says that you can receive that power. How about it, Christian? Do you share in me the acknowledgement that we have a problem and that the Spirit of God is not able to move on our lives like he wants to because we simply spend so much time forgetting about him and his power? And you just come to the altar and say, God, forgive me. You be Moses as Moses was to God. Realizing the Bible says that, you know, God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he might be angry at you and I. There might be many things he's angry about. He may be angry about something you're doing or not doing. He may be angry about something in your family with your children or grandchildren. He might be angry with something at the church or in your work. And maybe the Spirit of God is going to move upon you in just a moment to come to this altar. And as Moses did, just beseech God to forgive and to restore and let His power move in your life and the Spirit of God move on you and the situations. And let His power take care of whatever the problem is. Maybe God wants you to be part of this family. We open our doors to receive you. We'd love to have you come to serve Him, seek Him with us, share Him. Whatever the need is, He's available. Amen. His power is available to do the impossible for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just
89, pass me not.